As we come to the Word, hopefully you've been able to keep the Gospel of John open there in front of you. Let's pray together as we come to God's Word. God, you have given us reason for great joy. You've given us hope, you've given us peace, news of a King who rules the world with truth and with grace. We pray, Lord God, as we meet together, as we worship you, honour you, hear again that story of you coming to our world, we pray, Lord God, that you would fill us with that sense of joy. Pray it in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Amen. Well, we've just sung one of the most famous Christmas carols of all time, Joy to the World. It's one of the most well-known. It actually turns out to be the most published carol in North America, the most cover versions, the most published, recorded Christmas carol of all time. And it's not hard to see why, is it? It's a wonderful carol, a carol bursting, positively brimming with joy. Joy to the world, joy to the earth. Now, you might be surprised to learn that Isaac Watts did not actually think he was writing a Christmas carol when he penned Joy to the World. It wasn't actually originally written as a Christmas carol. He actually originally wrote it as part of a poetry collection that he wrote based on the Psalms. And Joy to the World is his reflection on Psalm 98. If you'd like to hear more about that, Richard's actually going to be preaching on Psalm 98 this coming Sunday, so you can come along and hear more about that. But despite not being written as a Christmas carol, it just sums up the joy of Christmas beautifully. You can see why it's become the most popular, the most published Christmas carol. All the best things we could hope for are in Joy to the World. Joy and blessings and truth and grace and glory and righteousness and love, all the things that we hope for and long for in this world. It encourages us to sing them all out with joy. No wonder it's one of the most popular carols that has ever been written. The scope of it is just astounding. Did you notice? It encompasses the whole world, the whole earth. Creation itself cries out in praise of God. The rocks and the fields and the hills and the plains all crying out in praise of God. It stretches right back in time, all the way back to Genesis 3, when the curse of sin enters the world for the first time. The often neglected third verse, I don't think the third verse has been the most published carol of all time. The often neglected third verse refers to the curse that God made over Adam because of his sin. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you'll eat food from it. All the days of your life it will produce thorns and thistles for you. And it also encompasses the whole history of the nations as they rise and fall, showing the hand of God in human history, his providential hand to bless and to guide, his just hand. It's like the carol has just zoomed back to this big, wide-angle lens that extends from the cosmic to the creation and through all of time. And yet, it is also intensely personal. It stretches down to every single human heart. Let every heart prepare him room. Ultimately, that is what the story of Christmas is all about. From the heights of the heavens to the depths of every human heart, for all of creation and for all of time, Jesus has come to make his blessings flow, his blessings of joy and grace and truth. And the question is, will we receive him and discover the joy that he is our Saviour and our Lord? Will we receive him? The Gospel of John starts with the reading that we just heard. Starts with an equally wide-angle view. John doesn't write about shepherds. He doesn't write about angels. He doesn't write about mangers. He takes us right back to before creation itself. He zooms the camera out as far as you could possibly go. And if you've got it open there, you can follow along with me. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The birth of Jesus 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem was not the start of Jesus' story. To capture the scope of Jesus, John reaches all the way right back to before creation itself, and Jesus is described as the Word of God, the one who was with God and the one who was God. And Jesus says that John says that all of creation itself was made through Jesus. Everything was created through him. He is the source of life, the source of light. He is the source of light for all humanity. And though John does tell us that there is darkness in the world, he also tells us that the light of Jesus shines into the darkness and is not overcome. In five brief verses, John tells us, Jesus is the Creator God, the source of life and light, who shines into the darkness of the world. And in place of the curse of sin, in place of the darkness of the world, Jesus comes to make his blessings of life and light flow everywhere that darkness touches, everywhere the curse of sin is found. From this eternal cosmic perspective, as he places Jesus as the source and the center of all his creation, John the writer then dives right down to one point in history 2,000 years ago, the coming of John the Baptist. Have a look at verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The other gospel accounts tell us that John the Baptist was a miracle baby, a baby born to Elizabeth and Zechariah in their old age, the cousin of Jesus. And from his birth, he was a prophet filled with the Holy Spirit to prepare the way for the Messiah who was to come after him. Zechariah prophesied over his son at his birth. He said this in the Gospel of Luke, "You, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. You will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." John the Baptist came to testify to the light. And this was his testimony. He declared Jesus to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the sacrifice that would take away the sin of the whole world. When he came, he brought a message of judgment and he called the people to repentance, not because he was cranky or cruel or cantankerous. He was there to give people the knowledge of salvation, to guide their feet into the path of peace with God. It is only through repentance from sin that we enter into forgiveness and into the tender mercy of God. No more let sins and sorrows grow. John prepared the way. He prepared the way because, verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Here is the entirely expected and yet completely shocking part of Jesus' life on earth. He was rejected. He was rejected. The Christmas story is the story of Jesus coming to the earth that he created, God becoming human to live among humanity. And even though he is the Creator God, the source of light and life for all humanity, he was rejected. John writes this, verse 10, "He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God." For each of us, this is a terrible verdict and yet a simple choice and a glorious promise. We've rejected the Creator God. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. Will we receive him? Will we receive Jesus and recognize him as our Savior and our Lord? To reject Jesus is to reject life, to reject light. But to receive him, there is the glorious promise that we can become children of God. Children of God, part of God's family. As we sing Joy to the World, it urges us to receive him. Joy to the earth, let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. Let earth receive her king. Now, we're nearly at the end of 2019, nearly there. Hold on, nearly there. Do you know how many countries held elections in 2019? Anyone want to have a guess how many countries held elections in the year 2019? I know I Googled it. I Googled it. Anyone want to make a guess? 20? Any advance on 20? 50? You guys are well short. I Googled it. Elections in over 90 countries of the world this year. That means that in 90 countries, there was new leadership installed or there was an affirmation of existing leadership this year. In 90 countries around the world, there was some recognition that someone was the rightful ruler. Now, I would wager that of the 90 plus countries that held an election this year, you are probably only aware of a handful of them. And I would probably even go so far to say that there's really only one or two of those elections that have actually directly affected you or made any difference to your life. And I've got to be honest, as I was looking down that Googled list of 90 countries, I've got to confess my ignorance of geography here. There were countries on the list that I'd never actually heard of. And there were countries on that list that I could not find on a map if I tried. Fascinating. I want to go and Google them all now and figure out where they all are. I fear that for many people, the news that Jesus was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, that the Creator God came to his creation, the King came to us. It sounds like an election result from a country that you've not heard of. It sounds like an election result of a country that you couldn't find on a map. The Savior and the Lord of all the earth passes unnoticed and has no bearing and no effect on our lives. We don't receive him or recognize him as King, even though our very lives are a gift from him. Our very lives are his gift to us. But Jesus has come. Jesus has come, and he came to save us from our sin, to make his blessings flow as far as the curse is found. You know, when Jesus came in, he didn't come as a powerful tyrant to dominate us. That's not how Jesus entered into the world. He comes weak and humble, helpless as a baby, a humble king, come to save us from the curse of our sin. Even though we rejected him, even though we didn't receive him as we should, he came to save us. You know, Jesus himself talked about kings, worldly kings and rulers who lorded over their subjects. But this is why he said he came. He talked about those rules and he said, the Son of Man, he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's character and nature of this king. That's the grace of God on display. Jesus came to give his life so that we would be set free from sin. The light shines in the dark for those of us who will receive him, who believe in him, acknowledge him as our Lord and Savior. There is life, there is light, there is the opportunity to become children of God. We become children of God through him. And that's why there's great joy. That's why when the carol sings of a king who rules the world, it is joy. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Heaven and nature sing, creation repeats resounding joy. Jesus comes as king. Do we need to honor him as king? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Do we need to obey him as king? Yes. This is not some election result from an unknown country. Do we need to turn away from sin in repentance? Absolutely. Each of us needs to receive him and to prepare room in our hearts for him. But it is joy. It is joy because he rules the world with truth and grace. That's how this king comes. That's how this king rules the world, with truth and with grace. He rules with the wonders of his love. He comes to make his blessings flow. The message of Christmas is a royal proclamation. In Jesus, a Savior has come to redeem you. In Jesus, a King has come to reign over you with truth and grace. And John says it for us in verse 14. The Word became flesh and he made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's the kind of king, that's the kind of ruler that we can rejoice in, give ourselves to, safe in his grace, safe in his truth, safe in the wonders of his love for us. Will you pray with me? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are a great king. We celebrate and rejoice that you are a good and gracious king, not a tyrant that grinds us down. No, no, a humble king who gives up his life for his people, who is tender and kind and merciful and gracious, who rules over us with the truth that we so desperately need and with the grace that we do not deserve. But all fills us with joy. Oh, would you let your blessings flow as far as the curse is found? Would you rule over this world with truth and grace? Would you open our hearts to receive you, to make room for you? Lord, we know that in you there is life, there is light, there is the chance to become children of God, part of your family. All through your grace and all through your mercy. And I pray this Christmas, amongst all the festivities, in all the ways that we will look for joy this Christmas, I pray we would take joy in this, that our God has come to live with us and to make us part of his family. We praise you and we pray this in your powerful, holy name. Amen. Amen.